Welcome to Living Life on the Mat with Keisha B. Spivey, a weekly podcast that will challenge you and encourage you to live your best life yet. Hello there and welcome to 2023. I am so excited to be on this journey with you. I'm so excited for us to be learning, discovering, and growing together. I'm so excited as we sit back and literally watch God show off in all of our lives. This year, I want to take you on a journey with me through learning of that. Okay. Holy Spirit, help me. I need you. Talk to me and teach me. Hello there and welcome to 2023. I'm so excited to be on this journey of discovery with you. I'm so excited for us to walk hand in hand through this year, every single week, learning and discovering how to just be. Back in 2018, God started me on a journey of learning how to truly cultivate different attributes and characteristics that I didn't even realize were as important to my success as the work that I was doing. I am naturally an overcoming workaholic, and I'm working on that. God is working on that through me. But God started me on a path back in 2018. And he began to teach me that my success and my walking in victory and my enjoying the God kind of life had far less to do with the works of my hand and far more to do with who I was becoming as an individual. My doing was important, but it wasn't nearly as important as my being. My being found faithful, my being a daughter walking in authority, my being someone who spoke truth and who wasn't moved by other people's opinions. I had to literally go into a laboratory with Jesus and allow him to strip off of me things that were hindering me, things that I had identified as important, but really had no value. And I literally had to sit in that lab on the potter's wheel and allow God to work in and through me. So this year, every week, we're going to be talking about the different attributes that God challenged me to cultivate in my everyday life. And so we're going to be talking about just being. I'm going to do some Facebook Lives on Wednesday and just have a conversation. I'm doing my Friday Fires on the radio and I'm talking about it, my podcast on Monday nights and my YouTube station. I'm going to saturate every week with what God has taught me about that thing and what he's still teaching me, because I have not arrived. I'm still working. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I am still becoming. You know, the word be is one of the smallest words in the English vocabulary, but its presence sets the stage for what's to come behind it. You know, as we think about it, when we say be, it's literally pronouncing a confirmation or an affirmation of that thing that's to come. You know, when I was in college, in my last round of seminary, I had to take Greek classes and I had to take Hebrew classes. And so as I began my study and my walk on learning how to be, God took me to the Greek word. And the Greek word be means genome. It is to come into existence. It's to begin to be. When you think about the Hebrew word, it is haya, which means to exist. So when you look at its root, when you think about the word be, it's how we get our English definition of live, to have, to be alive, to breathe. We have to start our being journey with just breathing. When you take a deep breath in and you exhale, that's the ruha, that's the breath of God. And when we think about how God spoke creation into existence, he says, let there be. And it was. He said the next thing, and it was. He gave an instruction, and he started talking about what needed to be. He talked about being fruitful and multiplying. He talked about filling the earth. He talked about subduing it. He talked about dominion. And we cannot walk in dominion. We cannot walk in power. We cannot walk in authority if we first don't understand our identity of who we're called to be. You know, the world will put labels on you. The world will tell you all the things that you're not. It'll tell you all the things that you can't measure up in. It'll highlight your inadequacies. It'll tell you that your family is this and your family is that. But God says, who do I say you are? Your being begins with coming in alignment with who God says you are. You coming in alignment with the truth of God's word. You being the daughter, the son he's called you to be. You being someone who's committed to have their mind renewed, to learn the truth of what God says, to learn the promises of his word. You becoming someone committed to the journey of discovering. You know, Mark 1:17 says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Jesus had to make the disciples into becoming fishers of men. That becoming process, it started with them accepting the responsibility to be followers of Jesus. When they accepted the charge to be a disciple, that becoming process started. He had to do a work on their hearts. He had to do a work on their minds. He had to do a work on their lives so that they could be who he had called them to be. I think about my husband. We've been married. Eric and I've been married, 28 years this year. And we got married in June, a long, long time ago. And every day, we're still working on becoming one. Every year, we're becoming one. We're discovering new things about ourselves. We've been married almost 28 years, but we've been best of friends for like 35 years. I've known him for over 40 years, and we're still becoming. Because daily I'm changing. Daily he's changing. The world around us is changing. And so in our relationship, we have to stay tuned into one another so that we can work on being who we need to be the spouse we're called to be. So when I think about that with my marriage, I think about that. You say, maybe I'm not married. What about with your children? If you're a parent, as your children go through seasons, I think back to our children when they were babies. And they were depending on me for their nourishment because they got their milk from their mama. But then they started crawling and then they started eating and they needed food and they were sitting in the high chair and I fed them chopped up, diced up stuff that they could digest. Then they got a little bit older and they got some teeth in their mouth and they wanted chicken nuggets and they wanted all kinds of things. And I was able to feed them. Then they got older and they wanted to stop ordering off the children's menu. They wanted big people meal like slabs of ribs and steak and stuff. And I had to get them off the children's menu into the adult menu. Then they left my house and they had their own kitchens and then they had to start preparing their own meals. I had to learn how to be their mother in the kitchen differently. As I prepared their food, I had to be someone preparing something differently. So the seasons changed and what I was to them and what I provided and prepared had to change as well. So when we think about that personally, and we think about that in marriage, and we think about it with food, let's think about it with God. You know, when you come into that personal relationship with Jesus, when he snatches you out of darkness and he brings you into his light, the becoming, the being changes. He makes all things new. When you come into a relationship with him, you know, and you fully accept him, and I'm not talking about just say a prayer. No, I'm talking about you become a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You change teams. You get off of the team that's fighting for worldly ways and selfishness and pride and evil, and you get on a winning team. You become Team Jesus. And you decide that your life is not your own, that you want to be someone who's pursuing and getting to know Jesus. You want to be someone who's reflecting him. Then you have to start being someone that's spending time with him. You have to be someone that's getting in his presence. You have to begin your true existence and your day and your life in him. You know, as I mentioned, Genesis 1 and 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be, and there was. There are some things that God is saying to you in your life that he has proclaimed for you to be. There are some things that you're supposed to be having. There's some things you're supposed to be experiencing. And as we're walking into 2023, that's my question. Are you partaking of the be that he has for you? The be that Jesus hung on the cross to purchase for you. The power that he purchased for you to be in. The authority he purchased for you to be someone who walks in. The gifts that he gave you of healing that you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be healed. Are you partaking? Are you receiving? Are you embracing those things? You know, the word be, yes, is small, but it's power packed. Our natural tendency as people is to get so focused on the doing. But we're not human doings. We are human beings. We are human beings. We were created to be like Jesus. We were created in the image of God to reflect his dominion in the earth. We were created with purpose. We were created with power. We were created with an assignment. You know, if you've walked with me for any time, you've heard me say over and over again that every person has their own set of fingerprints. I say that all the time because it's so tangible. Look down at your fingers. You have 10 different fingers, and every one of those fingers has a different fingerprint. Why? Because no one can touch this world like you can touch it. No one has your experiences, good, bad, and ugly. No one can touch it like you because God has created you to be someone who touches the world in a very unique way, in a very different way. You know, no one has your irises. You got two irises, and my husband has a twin brother, Eric and Derek. And between the two of them, they have four different irises. Why? Because they're uniquely created. They are different, different personalities. Yes, they look alike, but very different beings. And each of them, although they came together and they grew together in their mother's womb, when they were birthed into the earth with different purposes to be someone unique, to be an individual. So their irises are different, just like our irises are different. Why? Because no one can see the world like we see it. God has uniquely gifted you to see things differently than other people. I had to learn this the hard way. When I started my nonprofit many, many years ago, I would get so frustrated because I'd be explaining the vision and this is what God has shown me and this is what it is and this is what it's going to be. And people looked at me like I had two heads. I would be painting the picture and I could see it so clearly. And I'm like, why don't you get it? I even remember one time having a conversation with my husband as I was sharing with him, you know, what God was showing me. And I was so excited. I was so passionate because I could see it just like I'm looking at my hand before my face. I could see it. And I was looking at him, and I love my husband, but he's not a very emotional person. He is what you see is what you get. His happy face and sad face are the same. They don't change. And I love that about him because I need that in my life. But I remember painting the vision and sharing it with all of my heart and looking at him. And he's like, that sounds good. And I'm like, don't you see it? Don't you get it? This is big. And I was waiting for him to give me back some of that passion, to give me back some of that energy. But then I realized, wait a minute, he can't see it like I see it because God has only given me eyes to see it that way. That doesn't make him wrong and me right or him right and me wrong. It just means we see it differently. And I've had to learn that in relationships and in business dealings. People see things differently. Why? Because we were created to be different. And in our being different, in our seeing different, in our hearing different, God wants us all to show up in the fullness of who we are because every person is instrumental. We are all vital to the big picture. When you think about a puzzle box, the most important part of a puzzle is the box top because inside you have 1,000 little pieces. And they all are so different. They're cut different. They look different, different shapes and sizes, different little squiggly things, all unique and all necessary to make the puzzle complete. Because if one of those 1,000 pieces are missing, when you put it all together, it's not finished because that one piece is missing. As I'm talking this year and I'm teaching this year about us learning to just be, it is so important that you be authentically you, that you be who God has created and called you to be, because your puzzle piece is paramount to his picture. When you don't show up, the picture is not complete. When you show up trying to be anybody outside of who God has created and called you to be, the puzzle is incomplete. When you show up trying to act like somebody else and trying to mimic someone else, the puzzle isn't complete. You're trying to make a square box or a square piece fit into a round spot. It doesn't work. And that's why so many people are uncomfortable. That's why so many people feel out of place. That's why so many people are saying, I don't know who I am and why God created. I don't know my purpose, because you haven't taken time to just be you. You haven't taken time to be still in God's presence and listen to his still small voice. You haven't taken time to just be the creation he has called you to be. You know, the thing about us that makes us different, that thing that so often we try to minimize or to hide because it's not like everybody else, and people don't do things like that, and people don't dress that way or act that way or think that way, whatever the thing is that the enemy uses to try to trap you into this prison of not being fully present and not being fully authentically you, whatever that thing is. That's the thing that God has put on you that makes you different, because when we are truly being who he's called us to be, that thing that makes us different makes us dangerous. It makes us dangerous to darkness. It makes us dangerous against defeat. It makes us dangerous against discouragement. It makes us dangerous against despair, because we understand that God has a purpose for our life. We understand that all things may not feel good, but they work together for our good, because God has ordained and purposed me for something greater than I know. And all I have to do is be smack dab in the middle of his perfect will. All I have to do is be someone who's found faithful. All I have to do is be someone who's consistently showing up, practicing presence, being who he's called me to be. When we realize in our uniqueness that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of us, when we are literally committed to be someone who walks in that power, we become unstoppable. You know, the purposes of God, they're unstoppable. The gifts of God, they're irrevocable. When you are being faithful on the post, in the place, in the position that God has called you to be, we have to commit to being in 2023. You know, I'm not a big resolutions person, because you do what's important to you. You know, my big resolutions and my big commitments happen in my birthday. In September, I sit down, I go on this personal retreat, and I evaluate the year. Did I stay true to the things that God had called me to do? Did I drift? Where did I drift? I evaluate. You know, I evaluate my spiritual life. Have I grown? Am I being disciplined? You know, disciple means discipline. One, I know we don't like discipline, but are we being disciplined? You know, am I growing in my relationships? You know, my marriage, with my children, am I cultivating relationship with sisters, with people that are near and dear to me, that I can show up with, that I can trust to tell me what I need to hear, not necessarily what I want to hear. Am I cultivating time with mentors? And I want to let you know, not every mentor is somebody who calls you by name. My strongest mentors are in books, podcasts. They don't know me, but I know them, and they teach me. Am I being consistent in cultivating my learning? You know, am I, you know, being consistent with my physical health, with what I'm eating, my exercise, am I drinking my water? In September, I evaluate all of that. And I look back at the previous year. What did I do well? What did I do okay, but could have improved? And what did I do horrible at? And I don't beat myself up. I don't get in this place of condemnation. I'm just honest. I just evaluate. And then I reset for the next year because I realize nothing changes until something changes. So I have to be the one who's found faithful on the things that I need to be faithful on. I have to realize that my being begins with me. It begins with me getting in position to hear from thee. And then I have the responsibility of responding to what I've heard and doing what he's called me to do. I just gotta be me. We have to get good with just being me. We have to get good with being good with the skin that we're in. We have to be good with the problems that we've overcome and our testimonies. We have to just get good being me. Say that to yourself. I am good being me. I am good being me. Me is enough. Being me is enough. Being me is enough. Being me is enough. Say that. Being me is enough. Not because I'm all of that and not because I got it all together, but because I got the greater one living on the inside of me, and he created me and he didn't make any junk. He created me and said, that's good. She has purpose. He created you and said, he is good. He has purpose. Be good with that. Be good with that. Be good with that. Be good with that. I want you to take some time to just reflect about what God is saying to you about the word be. What is God saying to you? What is he saying to you? Write it down. You know, I have created a devotional that you can download. The email and all the information will be on my pages, on all my social media pages. You can download it. You can order a hard copy. And the devotion is his, it's called his voice. It's his voice. It is his voice. And it's a journey that God is taking me on, but his voice has taught and teaching me how to be. It's a 52 day devotional. It took me 52 weeks to walk through it, but you can walk through it in 52 days. So we're going to be walking through it in deeper levels throughout the year. But if you'd like to purchase it, you can do that. The information will be in the link. But you're welcome to. I ask that you show up with me every Monday night. Every Monday night. My podcasts and these videos are going to go live on all podcast platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, because I do believe that this year, God desires to do in us and through us beyond what we can imagine. I believe we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's not always through just going and doing. That's necessary. Faith without works is dead. But if you're working and you don't have the faith to be, what can you really, really accomplish? And who's getting the glory? So I thank you for tuning in today. Order you a copy of the devotion. Stay tuned to next week's lesson. And also, I challenge you, let's not just meet during these times and I talk. Take some time when I'm done. Take some time when you're done with your notes. Get still in the presence of the Lord and ask him, what is it he is saying to you? What is he specifically calling you to be in this season? God bless you. Have an amazing day, and do you on max. God bless. Thank you.